Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
I watched J.D.'s speech while he was in Pennsylvania and paid attention to the Q&A with reporters that followed. Now, my takeaways might make some waves, but no worries. They're very navigable. But I've got so much to deal with here today. I'm going to touch on this Saturday night during the Brain Massage Live podcast. I'll likely go live somewhere around 7 p.m., but I'll notify you when I'm able to commit to a specific time. You can go to brainmassage.net to register for notifications. If you want to register without subscribing to receive the Brain Massage podcast in your mailbox each Friday evening, then just use the Contact Us feature. Send me an email and tell me you want to be notified for the live stream. Otherwise, if you sign up to be subscribed, part of the subscription includes you in the notifications for the live stream podcast of Brain Massage. All right, here we go. What about the issue of vengeance? Have you noticed, as I have, the wicked on the left are already suing for peace? You know, the Bible says the wicked flee when none pursue. Their guilty conscience tormenting them in fear that Trump is going to prevail and that they are in for some serious retribution for all of their many egregious offenses against him and his liberties. Now, I think they are attempting to manipulate him in advance to promise no vengeance, don't worry. I hear Agag crying, "Surely the bitterness of death is past. May President Trump give them Samuel's answer." And I'll explain that in a little bit. Raging heathen alert. Coca-Cola does not like Jesus or Trump. Let's see. There's a couple of things I want to get to that I won't be able to develop in this show. Let me touch on them. There is a plot to take out Trump's jet, Trump 1. And the idea is they'll use a shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missile referred to as man pads or stingers. Now, here's a little snippet from an article published back in 2022 titled, "Where Have All the Man Pads Gone?" And in that article, this quote, "The CIA lost, quote-unquote, several hundred stingers, SA-7s and blowpipes in the 1980s, and Sweden admitted to inadvertently diverting a few dozen of their man pads to Iran in the 1980s as well," article noted here. I need to give this some more in-depth research. Hopefully Bongino, Jones, or Tucker will look more into this. Bongino's information is that these shoulder-mounted missile launchers are very rare and hard to come by these days. All my research confirms this, but one source cited here warned that the rarity of supply actually makes them a cherished commodity and they're easily hidden and would likely be reserved for use only in the most extreme cases. And I would add, perhaps, like taking out the greatest threat to the globalist agenda to rise to power since Reagan. An even greater threat to the deep state interests and the military-industrial complex than was JFK, I'm just saying. And I'm trying to scare you, but I am trying to get you to watch and pray. How far will they, air quotes, go, and what are they planning? Mayorkas is being increasingly pressed to explain his border policies and to defend them against increasing evidence that the cartels are taking advantage of his policies to increase their sex and drug trafficking operations here on our soil. He sits smugly defiant, refusing to answer, suggesting he is fully aware of this fact, and his inaction raises the question of his involvement. To put it nicely, to say it plainly, it appears Mayorkas may well be in on the cartel's payroll. I don't know, just saying. But be sure of this, they have something planned. Now here's a report that America's seaport workers are planning a major strike to begin October 1st. Funny, it's the first I heard of this. The Biden-Kamala administration appears to be toying with the emerging disaster. Like, you know, cat and mouse type thing. Not a word from Kamala. She's never asked about anything like this. And why? Well, on the question of why the longshoremen are going to strike, it's a dispute over wages. The union is demanding a 77% raise in pay over the next six-year contract. The USMX, and that stands for the U.S. Steel Mining Company, which is almost an archaic use, but this organization represents shipping companies' interests, and they consider the demand from the union unreasonable, and they offered a 40% increase. What's putting such intense pressure on demands for pay increases? Well, it's obvious. Bidenomics. You know, Bidenomics, that economic program that Kamala is so proud of. And if so proud of it, shouldn't we not expect her to continue it? Why are Biden and Kamala staying so quiet about this? I mean, I know of no public statement. Look, it could provide a serious destabilization of the economy that they could blame on corporate greed. Biden's transportation czar, Buttigieg, is talking to port authorities, but from what I'm reading, it appears to be way too little too late. That, or perhaps it's the strategy of this administration to do a Coca-Cola glitch that isn't. What am I talking about? Well, Coca-Cola offered customers an option to personalize their Coke cans. It's an online thing, you know, you order 5 personalized cans and get one free. One catch, you can use Harris 2024 if you want to have a party around that, but don't try Trump 2024. Oh, and you can dedicate your cans to Allah or Buddha or whatever, but not to Jesus. Now, but Coke has told us they've fixed the glitch. It was a glitch? Okay, my dear friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Should Trump pursue vengeance? Should he win? It's obvious that the left is afraid Trump might pull this off. Happily, they have very good reason to think so. And their guilty conscience, apparently, is in full alarm mode, warning them. They're going to face recriminations for what they've done. Now, folks, I think they're attempting to manipulate him in advance to promise no vengeance. I remember some months ago, you might have missed this, I didn't. I heard Hannity try to get to manipulate Trump to commit that he wouldn't follow up and do to them what they've done to him. It was disgusting. What a weasel thing to do. Try to manipulate Trump into promising no vengeance. Now, to Trump's credit, he made it clear that the issue has nothing to do with personal vengeance or vindictiveness, but the matter will be left in the hands of justice. The question came up on Gutfield, and of the 4 guests, only one had enough clarity on the issue to understand. Friend, you cannot apply how we react to personal affronts to how we treat criminal behavior. Jesus did say, turn the other cheek, as Tyrus pointed out, and yet, correctly, said that wouldn't apply here. You see, that has no application to criminal activity. I have a paper on this. It's titled War and the Christian Ethos. It goes into it in some depth, and I'll give it to you free. Call or email me, and I'll send you a PDF copy of that manuscript for free. It's usually $5, often on sale for this or that, right now on sale for $3, but you'll get it for free. Anyway, Jesus' statement to turn the other cheek does not mean if someone assaults you, you know, puts you in the hospital, that you're obliged to give the offender a date when he can do it again. How absurd. You know, one of these illegals rapes you, and you say, well, let's get our calendars out and we'll set a date for the next one. You've got to be kidding me. Now, that's a debunk on the silly notion that this principle applies to criminal behavior against anyone on a personal level. But friend, when it comes to criminal behavior on the government level, it has absolutely no place at all. The government has no business to turn your cheek to an enemy or to be victimized again. You've got to be kidding me. Yet we had courts pulling that kind of nonsense some years ago. Here in California, it has nothing to do with any individual. It's about the law and it's about justice. It's about the people generally. Now, on this business of vengeance, God most certainly does recognize a natural need in our hearts for vengeance. He said, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Psalm 94:1. That is, step in and do something about this. The human heart that has any kind of sense of right, wrong, justice, and injustice longs for vengeance when injustice has occurred. That's natural and it's right. The righteous shall rejoice, the Bible says, when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Psalm 58:10. You say, oh, that's Old Testament. Yeah. Doesn't work that way, friend. God takes up the issue of vengeance in the New Testament. It belongs to him, indeed. And the Greek word ekdeidesis, not for you strong users, number 1557. Well, that's the Greek word that's translated vengeance in Romans 12:19, where we are told it belongs to God. Don't avenge yourselves. It belongs to God. In Romans 13:4, the Bible warns us that the minister of God, which identifies a human being, by the way, acting under the ordained power or authority of God, is a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Romans 13:4. Now, friend, the word translated revenger is ekdeikos, and it's strong 1558. It's one who carries out the judgment of vengeance that God has ordained against the people who do evil. So there are human instruments that apply divine vengeance. Trump handled Hannity correctly, I think, in that particular case. We don't personally take up vengeance, but we most certainly turn it over to the divinely appointed revengers. Now, these are men appointed to this work under the authority of God, ordained to that power, and that authority, that power ordained to that principality. Romans 13, 1-6. So, surely, it means we are not allowed to take it into our own hands privately to satisfy a personal craving to get back at someone who has injured us. But it does not mean God will not use the hand of man to execute his vengeance upon someone. Saul was instructed to execute God's vengeance against the Amalekites. They were a wicked people who many generations before had committed a deep offense against God's people. Now, because of their increasing wickedness and evil, they finally crossed the line beyond God's space to repent. And God determined that they were to be destroyed. So he sent his prophet to instruct Saul, who was God's ordained power over the ordained principality of Israel, to execute his wrath upon these people. Well, Saul gathered the army and went forward to obey his instructions, but he stopped short of executing the penalty God called for. For one thing, he kept the ruler of these people, these wicked people, he kept the ruler alive, the one very likely most responsible for their evil. So he let Agag, king of the Amalekites, live. Well, God came to Samuel and told him, I'm weary of Samuel. Sorry I made him king. And told Samuel, I've decided to fire him. I'm going to raise somebody else up in his place. And that proved to be David, by the way. So God was going to fire Saul and put somebody else over this divinely appointed principality. When Samuel went to inform Saul that he was going to be replaced and to rebuke him, Saul met him all happy and saying, I obeyed all that God instructed me and this kind of thing. Well, Samuel corrected him and delivered God's message. Saul was very upset when he heard he was going to get fired, and he begged Samuel to stay. Samuel turned to him and ordered Agag to be brought to him. Now, folks, you see, the real evidence of genuine repentance on Saul's part would have been for Saul to call Agag to be presented before him to face the execution of God's wrath that God appointed Saul to deliver. But Saul didn't do that. And really, he didn't do repentance well. He was only concerned about how he looked to the people, not how he looked to God. When Agag appeared before Samuel, he simpered, surely the bitterness of death is past. Saul said nothing. Samuel said in reply, quote, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And then Samuel, the Bible says, quote, hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal, end quote, 1 Samuel 15:33. Read the whole chapter for the full story. Although Samuel mourned for Saul, he never would see him again. Now, God forbid that President Trump should be Saul, and let not the people pressure him to do so. Let no saint for a moment think that he should be afraid of how he looks to wicked rebels. So don't let the Republicans, the MAGA people, get all tricked by this. It's not going to look good. You're going to look like you're just getting vengeance. Watch out for that trick. You don't need to worry about what you look like to them. You need to be concerned how you look to God. Let's keep our eye on the judgment required to restore justice. Justice cannot return to our land until judgment is satisfied against these wicked traitors. Let's we the people say to those who cry, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." Unequivocally, what you have done will be done to you, with one difference. You will face just judgment of the law you have offended. For your crimes, you will pay. If God has mercy and puts the sword of civil justice back into the hands of the righteous, then it must be used as it was ordained, to execute wrath against these evildoers. We don't give them a pass. We have no right to do so. If it comes out to be confirmed that Mayorkas, Biden, Harris et al. Have the blood of the innocents who are sex trafficked under their watch while they look the other way, and those children who were killed by the traffickers of fentanyl, well, let them face the full judgment for their crimes. They must receive the full measure of God's wrath executed upon them by his ministers appointed to this business. Okay, now that's a lot to chew on. When Agag simpers and whines or attempts to chide, withhold not the sword of justice. Be forewarned. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. All who participated, either directly or knowingly, facilitated the abuse of our women and children in this country with these open border policies, be executed to the fullest extent of law. And the law for such should be death.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the White House, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Why does Brain Masseur think this thing with Coca-Cola and the personalization of Coke cans is important for us to engage? Coke claimed they fixed the glitch. It was a glitch, you know, that didn't allow the customer to use Trump's name or Jesus' name on their personalized Coca-Cola cans. Now this word glitch, it's Yiddish from glitch. It's adapted from a German verb that means to slip. We all use it. It refers to an unplanned or unexpected malfunction. Now that's curious. Coca-Cola's algorithm filtered for political or religious figures, and the only ones it screened were Jesus and Trump. Now, friend, that's not a glitch. That's a program. I said program. This was not merely a glitch in a software program. This is nothing else but Nazi-esque soft programming. This is how it started in Germany. The Jews were fully integrated into German society, and because they lived many decades in peace and friendship with their German neighbors, they dismissed the constant drone that was developing under Hitler a little before of Nazi propaganda that cast the Jews as enemies of the state. Does that sound familiar? Even when Jews would suddenly and inexplicably disappear and begin to be looked at askance by some in the neighborhood, these Jews just blew it off as a passing fad, a bit of nonsense. One survivor of the Holocaust, Zvi Bacharach, remembered his parents blowing off the increasing insults from fellow citizens, the yellow armbands, and the demeaning Nazi propaganda, saying, quote, "There's no way the Germans we live with will continue to do these things. It's only an episode," end quote. Please listen. Then it blew up on November 9 and 10 in 1938, and it was known as the November Program. We refer to it as Kristallnacht, the night the glass was broken. Very soon it was apparent that the attack had been planned in secret for many months prior. In only a few hours, the glass was shattered in hundreds of Jewish shops, 1,400 synagogues were torched, Torah scrolls, that's the Bible, friend, burned, Jews targeted, beaten, 30,000 Jewish men were rounded up and sent to the concentration camps, 91 resisted and were murdered. I have all the documentation you might want right here. You've heard this stuff before, I know, but I need to remind you that Obama's Department of Homeland Security funded studies that identify conservative, patriotic, and politically active Christians as fitting a profile of potential domestic terrorists. Now, this is the handbook Mayorkas uses, with the exception that he would include MAGA patriots. Here are two of these studies that have served as material taught to the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and other three-letter and other government agencies. I have it documented here. You can read it for yourself. It's right there. These Obama-era policies have permeated our FBI, the entire Department of Justice, and much of the Department of Defense. It has filtered into virtually all of our bureaucracies and has shaped the current propaganda narrative of the government-controlled media. No one can forget Biden's eerily threatening speech given against the Nazi-esque military-themed backdrop, calling MAGA Americans the single greatest threat to democracy. And we've all heard the repeated and vicious attacks on conservatives who question the 2020 election and government intruding upon social media, colluding with them to censor our freedom of speech, claiming we only accept results that we like. Coming from the same people who questioned the 2016 election for 4 full years and went so far as to attempt a coup against the sitting president, weaponizing the institutions of justice against him. If Americans, especially Christian conservative Americans, don't see that these people are preparing a program, you're just blind and cannot see afar off. These people can't even see what is immediately in front of them. Did you not see the state-approved riots during the Summer of Love? State-sanctioned mob rule. And can you not contrast that to the J6 riots? Now, we know the J6 riot was instigated by Pelosi, Department of Justice, and their FBI operatives. I mean, there is no other reason that would explain why they refused to release the video or to identify for us the agents or assets who were there to perpetrate this false flag to justify the wholesale rounding up and prosecution of perfectly innocent attendees. I mean, look how aggressively the Pelosi-Biden goons prosecuted grandmothers who prayed in the Capitol and how hard they have worked to justify and protect the violent rioters in Seattle and Portland and L.A. and Walls's, Minnesota. You beginning to get the picture here? What do you think the statement is? The regime currently in power has tried everything it can do to intimidate the normals and make us kowtow to them in fear. The message is clear. Riot and create mayhem against normal, everyday Americans, and the people in power will use that power to protect you and to defend you and justify your actions. Resist the devil, this devil, and they will deploy the full force of government power to squash you like a bug. Eh, whoopee? You like that, huh? Yeah, bzz, 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 splat. Hee-hee-hee-hee. Wasn't that cute how Whoopi represented Trump as an annoying bug and then Biden slapped the table to the delight of all lefties everywhere? Well-timed too, right, Whoopi? Gold brick? Only a week or so after the assassinations, the second assassination attempt, I should say, by the way. Biden sure looked good, didn't he? He looked all together. No problems keeping his train of thought, just as clever and quick as ever. Notice? He's full of hate, just like Obama is. These people would rather see America burned to the ground than to face the consequence of losing power. Look, let's get serious here. Be prepared for the planned November program. I'm telling you that I think their last-ditch effort will be to launch as many of the gang members, Chinese military, Islamo-terrorists, their Soros-funded Antifa and BLM armies, and every lunatic lib they can recruit to go into the streets. As a backup for their failure to take the election, in hopes, perhaps, that they will spur a civil revolt on the part of the people of America. They're already running trial operations with illegals committing gross violence against our women and our small communities. I hope our city officials here in Santa Maria are paying attention and prepping. Let me tell you what makes the American Christian patriot different from the hapless Jews of Kristallnacht. Quote, in 2024, the number of firearms in America is likely over 466 million. But California is one of the least armed citizenry in the Union. It ranks 43rd of the 50 states in terms of percent of population armed. Conservative patriots know why the Second Amendment was deemed critical by our founders. And my fellow Californians, you had better arm yourself and be prepared. They're going to send these illegals after you, man. You need to wake up. This is my opinion, by the way. Jesus Christ is king, of this earth, the chief ruler over all earthly kings, prime ministers, or presidents. Every knee is commanded to bow to him, and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your king has instructed you to be armed. Now, one of their own, once a favorite of Democrats, said, quote, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Alas, Jefferson has fallen from Democratic grace, and Marx has been elevated into his place. I tremble for my country when I reflect on the question that troubled Jefferson then. Although the context of the question has changed, the concerns expressed remain. Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God? They are not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Remember what it cost us to secure these divinely granted liberties? Stand now for liberties under Christ, your King, or bow in fear to the dictatorship of evil. And that's why we must stand up and roar. Listen, we're called sheep, but we also have the heart of the Lion of Christ in us. These are sheep that roar, and we need to stand up and roar against this evil anytime it pokes its little head up anywhere, whether it's Bud Light or Coca-Cola. Will America continue to ignore the silent scream and the sound of freedom? Will America refuse to face the truth about our federal government being co-opted by sex trafficking cartels? That Mayorkas and Kamala, the border czar, have presided over the greatest increase in sex trafficking and drug trafficking profiting in the history of our nation or of the world. More than 300,000 children missing, and that it has been discovered that pedophiles have worked their way into child services and are facilitating the delivery of children to feed the perverted lusts of those souls that bow to Baphomet and lick his toes for mammon. And more on this Saturday night, by the way, a new dark age dawning. Friend, America must bravely stand up and reprove these works of darkness, else become servants of the child trafficking elites and you face your judgment, how you use your vote. The Spirit thrice repeated Christ's judgment for those who would offend these little ones. He said they should have a stone tethered to their neck and cast into the sea. May Christ line you up with the predators you protect on a great barge at sea, strap the millstone about your cowardly neck, and cast the stone into the waters, right upon the stone treason. Treason against the King of Kings. Treason against our Constitution. When the bands and cords of Christ are broken and cast off, it is the women and children and the weak-minded and effeminate men that are delivered to the appetites of the beast. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see that they're on. Leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.